Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you here, braving the weather, right? We may touch on that here in just a little bit. It kind of fits the message today somewhat. How many of you like a good bargain? I do. How many of you are good at bargaining or negotiating when you're purchasing something? You see, I see people do this, and I am so lousy at it. I mean, I am the world's worst, because if someone is asking a certain price for it, I think, okay, that's what they want, and I just give it to them, and then I might even say, well, here's an extra $10. So I'm actually lousy at bargaining. If you're trying to get a super good deal on something, don't even bother to take me with you. But now, if it comes to bargaining on things that don't cost money, then I can get pretty good at that. And I think that's what we're going to see today in our readings and with Moses and with Pharaoh as we continue our Exodus series. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for those that are here today who braved the weather to join us today. Lord, we ask that as we turn to your word now, that you would open our hearts and Lord, continue to soften them to your calling and to hear your word clearly and to apply that word to our lives. Lord, we ask that you would block out a few of the distractions that might be going through our minds right now so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Really, like the last several weeks, we have a lot of material to cover this morning. We're not going to do it in a fashion, though. We're not going to read every single verse, but if you notice, we've got to cover chapter 6, verse 28, which is really right at the end of chapter 7, all the way through chapter 10. So that's a lot of ground to cover. What we're going to be looking at is really the plagues now. And so before we get started, I might ask you, does anyone have any idea how many plagues? This would be a good trivia question if you're ever playing Bible trivia. How many plagues are there?
Seven.
There's a few more than seven. Ten. There's 10 plagues. But guess what? The little snake thing, when Moses throws his staff down, is not counted as a plague. So sometimes we say that there are 11 miraculous signs. So Moses and Aaron are going to perform, and God, they're going to perform 11 signs, but there's actually 10 plagues that really affect the people, because the snake thing doesn't really do any harm to anyone, but it is one of those signs that Moses performs. But if we start with chapter 6, verse 28, we are going to read quite a bit, but Exodus chapter 6, 28, it says, "Now when the Lord spoke to Moses in Egypt, he said to him, 'I am the Lord. Tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you.' But Moses said to the Lord, 'Since I speak with faltering lips, why should Pharaoh listen to me?'" What is Moses doing already? I mean, we've seen it time and time again. What is he doing? He's trying to make another excuse. Even though he's been to Pharaoh once already, he's making another excuse why he shouldn't even go. Why is Pharaoh going to listen to me? Then the Lord said to Moses, chapter 7, verse 1, "See, I've made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh, 'Let the Israelites go out of his country.' But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply the miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt with mighty acts of judgment. I will bring out my divisions, my people, the Israelites. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring the Israelites out of it." Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 when they spoke to Pharaoh. I think I would have used that as an excuse why I couldn't go, right? I'm 80 years old. Isn't there someone younger that could do this? But I don't know that we always think about them being that old when the Lord sends them to Pharaoh. But what Moses makes excuses, but what does the Lord always come back and do? He reassures them that I am. I've got this. You know, he questions and time again, God just reassures him, hey, it's under control. I am. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of you. I will be with you. And so we get that here from the outset, even when Moses and Aaron are going to approach Pharaoh with these plagues and signs. So we get in verse 8 of chapter 7, we get to that first sign. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miracle, then say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it down before Pharaoh, and it will become a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded Aaron. Aaron threw his staff down in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a snake. Pharaoh then summoned wise men and sorcerers, and the Egyptian magicians also did the same things by their secret arts. Each one threw down his staff, and it became a snake. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. This is something that I don't know that we always catch, but whose staff is it saying it is here? It's Aaron's, but he's using the staff that Moses had when he was called out of the wilderness to go back to Egypt, because Moses and Aaron, they're working together, right? So this is that staff that God commissioned Moses with, but it swallows up the other snakes. And Pharaoh, I mean, in a sense, you get that he's questioning it a little bit, but he summons, you know, his magicians, and they're able to perform, and so his heart is hardened. He doesn't listen. So now we get to the actual first plague that is done. Moses, we're not going to read verses 14 to 19, but God is telling Moses and Aaron what you're going to do. And then in 20, it actually happens. Verse 20, Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt, but the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water, because they could not drink the water of the river. 7 days passed after the Lord struck the Nile. So if you think about this, and it's kind of a play on words a little bit, but what was the lifeblood, so to speak, for the Egyptian people? It was the Nile River. I mean, that was the source of life. It was the source for their water to grow crops, for them to survive. And now that is disrupted because it's turned into blood. The fish are all dying, and you can imagine how that smells, right? And so, but even with that, Pharaoh does not take heart. I mean, his heart is hard, and he just ignores all of that. And this passes for 7 days, and the people are even trying to find water by digging next to the Nile. So then we have the next plague, the second plague, which will be the plague of frogs, which I talked to the kids about. We're going to pick up with verse 6 in chapter 8. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land. But the magicians did the same things by their secret arts. They also made frogs come up on the land of Egypt. Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, pray to the Lord to take the frogs away from me and my people, and I will let your people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. So here, the frogs must have been bad, kids. I know you said you liked frogs, but Pharaoh's had enough of frogs. I mean, you get the sense they're just everywhere. They're in, well, I was going to say shoes. They're in their sandals when they go to put them on. They're in their robes. They're just covering everything. And so Pharaoh has enough. And so he summons them and says, what? Take them away. And what will happen? Basically, take them away, and I will let your people go offer sacrifices. So I want you to think about this in this term. What is Pharaoh beginning to do now? He's beginning to bargain with Moses and with God. If you take them away, I'll let you go do what you want to do. All right, so after Moses, verse 12, after Moses and Aaron left Pharaoh, Moses cried out to the Lord about the frogs and he had brought on Pharaoh. And the Lord did what Moses asked. The frogs died in the houses, in the courtyards, and in the fields. Oh, this is gross. They were piled into heaps and the land reeked of them. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. So God takes away the frogs, or doesn't take them away. He makes them die. And now there's a stench in the land. But the only thing that Moses can think about, at least there's a relief. We can get rid of them, and eventually this smell will go away. So what does he do? Changes his mind. Now that bargain he made, I'll let you go, he changes his mind. Then we get to the plague of gnats in verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt the dust will become gnats. They did this, and when Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust of the ground, gnats came up upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not, and the gnats were on men and animals. The magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hard and would not listen, just as the Lord had said. So here we get a distinction here. Now the magicians are not able to duplicate this plague. And you would think that Pharaoh would think, okay, there's something different here. And even the magicians try to tell him, whose hand is this? This is God at work. But Pharaoh's heart is hard. The plague of flies, the next plague. The Lord said in verse 20, the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people and into their houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, and even the ground where they are. And then verse 24, and the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials, and throughout Egypt the land was ruined by the flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God here in the land. But Moses said, that would not be right. The sacrifices we offer to the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offer sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God as he commanded us. Pharaoh said, I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me. So what's Pharaoh doing? He's trying to bargain a little bit more. He says, I'll let you go offer your sacrifices, but do it where? Do it in my land. Then Moses counters, no, we can't do it in your land. That'd be detestable to your people. And so then Pharaoh counters back, okay, good. You can go, but don't go very far. I mean, it's just a back and forth. And then in verse 30, then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time also, Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. Once that relief was felt, his heart was hardened and he changed his mind. A plague of livestock in chapter 9, verse 4. But the Lord will make a distinction. He talks about in the first four verses that there's going to be this plague of the livestock are going to die. But then verse 4 talks about, but the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. The Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh sent men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding, and he would not let the people go. We talked about the Nile, the source of life for Egypt. Now, I mean, we're talking about some of the livelihood for Egypt. The livestock is all killed, but yet Pharaoh's heart remains hard. The plague of boils in verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt. And festering boils will break out on the men and animals throughout the land. So they took the soot from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. So here we have the boils. I mean, now it's affected the water. It's affected the livestock. Now it's affecting some personal harm and injury to people themselves. But Pharaoh's heart remains hard. The plague of hail. We're going to skip a few verses here and go to verse 23 in chapter 9. When Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and lightning flashed down to the ground. That sounds a little familiar, except we didn't have hail this morning, right? I know there were some big crashes that woke me up and probably ran some kids into parents' beds this morning, right? So the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. Hail fell, and lightning flashed back and forth. It was the worst storm in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. Throughout Egypt, hail struck everything in the fields, both men and animals. It beat down everything growing in the fields and stripped every tree. The only place it did not hail was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were. When Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron, then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron. This time I have sinned, he said to them. The Lord is in the right, and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord. For we have had enough thunder and hail. I will let you go. You don't have to stay any longer. Moses replied, when I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands in prayer to the Lord. The thunder will stop and there will be no more hail, so you may know that the earth is the Lord's. So what's Moses doing again? More bargaining, right? The hail is kind of one of those intense things. It's killing everything. Once again, beating everything down, and he says, okay, stop the hail, and I will let you go. Then Moses, in verse 33, then Moses left Pharaoh and went out of the city. He spread out his hands toward the Lord. The thunder and hail stopped, and the rain no longer poured down on the land. When Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and thunder had stopped, he sinned again. He and his officials hardened their hearts, so Pharaoh's heart was hard and would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had said through Moses. So once again, once that relief comes, he takes back his little bit of bargaining that he's doing. Then we have a plague of locusts in chapter 10, verse 7. Pharaoh's officials said to him, how long will this man be a snare to us? Let the people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Do you not realize that Egypt is ruined? Then Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. Go worship the Lord your God, he said, but just who will be going? Moses answered, we will go with our young and old, with our sons and daughters, and with our flocks and herds, because we are to celebrate a festival to the Lord. Pharaoh said, the Lord be with you. If I let you go, along with your women and children, clearly, you are bent on evil. No, have only the men go and worship the Lord, since that's what you have been asking for. Then Moses and Aaron were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. So now what's Pharaoh's bargaining tool? He said, you can go, but only the men. You can't take your women. You can't take your livestock. But then verse 13, so Moses stretched out his staff over Egypt And the Lord made an east wind blow across the land all that day and all that night. By morning, the wind had brought the locust. They invaded all Egypt and settled down in every area of the country in great numbers. Never before had there been such a plague of locusts, nor will there ever be again. So obviously some of these things had happened before, these plagues, gnats, flies, possibly frogs, but none of them compare to what is taking place now. They covered all the ground until it was black. They devoured all that was left after the hail, everything growing in the fields and the fruit of the trees. Nothing green remained on tree or plant in all of the land of Egypt. Pharaoh quickly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now forgive my sin once more and pray to the Lord your God to take this deadly plague away from me. Moses then left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord changed the wind and a very strong west wind, which caught up the locust and carried them into the Red Sea. Not a locust was left anywhere in Egypt. What do you think is going to happen? But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. So this bargaining, I'll let you go. The relief comes, okay, I'm not going to let you go. The ninth. Yeah, I think we're to the ninth plague now, which is, we're going to stop with the ninth plague. We'll get into the tenth plague next week. But the ninth plague, the plague of darkness, verse 21 of chapter 10, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness will spread over Egypt, darkness that can be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or leave his place for 3 days. Yet all Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, go worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind. All right, so more bargaining, right? Okay, all right, okay. You can go, you can even take your women with you, but what? You got to leave your flocks behind. But Moses said, you must allow us to have sacrifices and burnt offerings to present to the Lord our God. Our livestock, too, must go with us. Not a hoof is to be left behind. We have to use some of them in worshiping the Lord our God. And this is fascinating to me. And until we get there, we will not know what we are to use to worship the Lord. So we got to take it all. We can't leave anything behind. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was not willing to let them go. Pharaoh said to Moses, get out of my sight. Make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die. Just as you say, Moses replied, I will never appear before you again. One thing that I didn't mention, and we really don't have time to go into that, but a lot of these plagues are addressing specific gods over certain areas of life. I mean, there's the gods of the Nile River, and so by turning it into blood, it's showing that Yahweh is the Lord. The Israelite God can't be stopped by the gods of Egypt. There's the gods of the land. There's a fertility god, I think, is a god with a frog head. So I mean, all of these plagues are really pointing to a god that the Egyptians relied on. And so what God is trying to do here is show that he is the God even over all of their gods. But what I want us to think about, this really reminds me of a couple of things. It reminds me probably when I was a kid, and if you've had kids, what do they want to eat at mealtime? Do they want to sit down and eat their meal? Or if they're like me, they wanted to eat their dessert. And so what happens? We start bargaining. Okay, I'll eat 3 green beans and 4 scoops of potatoes. Will that be enough? And then I can have my dessert, right? I mean, we start bargaining with our parents to see how much food we have to actually eat before we get our dessert. Or maybe it's cleaning your room. And your room is really, really, really messy. And so you start bargaining. Okay, if I make my bed and at least pick the stuff up off the floor, is that good enough? Or if I clean my closet out, is that good enough? And usually what happens, they throw the sheets over the bed. All the stuff in the middle of the floor goes under the bed or in the closet, right? And so they start bargaining. And I thought about this. It's real easy to pick out those instances. But I thought, what about myself? Do I bargain with God? And would it be offensive if I said, we all bargain with God. You bargain with God. I bargain with God. And I thought about this. I mean, there might have been some bargaining going on this morning. Okay, Lord, if it's not raining by the time church is supposed to start, I'll go. Or, you know, if you just take care of this illness that I'm dealing with, that I'm struggling with, or that my child is struggling with, if you take care of that illness, I'll be in church every Sunday and I'll start reading my Bible every day. If you help me with this, this financial difficulty that I am, I promise I'll start going back to church every day or every Sunday. I'll even start giving money to the church every Sunday if you just help me out of this financial difficulty I'm in. Or, for some of you kids, maybe, you know, I'll start being more diligent about praying and reading my Bible if you help me do really, really good on this test, or if you help me get into that college I really want to go to, I'll get more serious about my relationship with you. And we start bargaining with God, and then possibly we find a little bit of relief, and we might say something like this, you know, God, you know that was really unrealistic for me to go to church every Sunday and to read my Bible every day. I really didn't mean that. I mean, I will try to be a little more faithful. And so we start bargaining with God with our own life. Let me tell you this. God has something much better for us than any bargain that we could ever make with Him. He has forgiveness and life for us. Jesus died on the cross to bring forgiveness to us. He died on the cross to know exactly what we deal with. He was raised to life so that we have the promise of eternal life. He doesn't want our bargaining. He wants us. He wants a relationship with us. And He wants a sincere relationship. He wants us to be in church because we want to be in church. He wants us to read our Bible because we want to read His Word. He doesn't want our bargaining, which is what we do quite often. He wants us to be so excited and so thankful for what He's done for us. He just simply wants us to respond to His goodness and to His love by having a relationship with Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You again for this day, and Lord, we ask that as we continue to live our lives in this world, that we really do seriously think about our relationship with You, and we stop playing that bargaining game that we'll do this if You do this for us. We just simply want that relationship with You, and we want to serve You, and we want to love You. We want to be in church. We want to study Your Word because of what You've done for us, not because we'll gain something from You. Lord, just work in our hearts. Lord, we ask that You would be with us this week, and that we would find that special time to connect with You, to build our relationship with You. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.